رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel. There are so many excellences and fadail relating to sending salawat ala Nabi. Peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation. Our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration we're told, أولى الناس بي يوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, the most closest person to me in the Akhirah, in the Day of Judgment, will be the one who recited the most salat upon me. We become very lazy if we are honest with ourselves. Maybe we only recite Durood Sharif in namaz after At-Tahiyyat. But if you want to attain closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the formula. Recite salawat ala nabi in abundance. Set yourself a target. And every day meet that target. Whether it's 100 Durood Sharif, 1,000 Durood Sharif, whatever is easy for you. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says that this hadith shows that reciting salat ala nabi is an excellent form of worship. Because when you look at all other worships, they lead to what? Jannah. They take someone to paradise, which is good, of course. But Durood Sharif is that ibadat, that virtuous act that leads you right to the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The closeness of the beloved alayhi salatu wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to remember our beloved alayhi salam in abundance by reciting Durood Sharif upon him day and night. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan. Make the intention that you are here to listen to the bayan only so that Allah becomes pleased with you, inshallah. If Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with a person, a slave, what more can he ask for? Nothing is comparable to that. Also make the intention that I will listen carefully, attentively. I will avoid all forms of distraction. And only then will you attain the greatest blessings. Make the intention that you will act upon what you hear. And you will try your utmost to convey it to others as well. Think about it. You will only be able to relay what you heard from the speech if you listened attentively. Imagine you came to hear the speech, you left and somebody said to you, what was the speaker talking about? What was the topic of the bayan? Can you mention something from the bayan? And you say, oh, I was there but I'm not really sure. I can't really make out what was being said. That shows inattentiveness. If there's no focus on the bayan, we don't reap the rewards of sacred knowledge. Keep that in mind, inshallah. Like this, whenever you do any good deed, try to make good intentions in abundance before that good deed. This will multiply the reward for you. So for example, you're coming to the masjid, it's one act. But on the way, you make the intention, Ya Allah, I'm going to offer my salah, I'm going to gain the mercy by being in your house, I'm going to meet my fellow Muslims, I'm going to greet them, I'm going to give sadaqah. So many other intentions can be made as well. So that one act, leaving your home and coming to the masjid, you've multiplied the reward for that manifold. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew about the great rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew that Allah Ta'ala has given him authority, ikhtiyar. They knew his great maqam in the court of Allah Jalla wa'ala. And they were not afraid to express that as well. Listen to this account very carefully. Sayyiduna Rabi'a al-Aslami, radiyallahu ta'ala, companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. He would stay with the Prophet alayhi salam. He was from the Ashabu Sufa, those companions who had devoted their lives to seeking knowledge near the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was one of them. And he would serve Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by providing wudu water, by giving the miswak. He would earn great reward and company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I used to spend the night close to the room of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, if the Prophet ﷺ needed water, miswak or anything, I would be there at his service. The Prophet ﷺ had a habit that when he awoke during the night, he would say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah Rabbil Alameen. He says, once the Prophet ﷺ woke up from his sleep and I presented water for wudu. I gave the miswak, whatever he wanted. After doing so, the Prophet ﷺ addressed me and he said, Sal, ask whatever you want, ask. No restriction upon that ask, meaning you can ask for any blessing that you want. Now this was a sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ. This was someone who was very intelligent. This was someone who was akhirah orientated, meaning he had his sight on the akhirah. If that was us in that position, we might have said, I want some wealth, I want a big house, a car, something. Look what this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in reply. He said, As'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. That, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I ask you for your companionship in paradise. He didn't ask for the dunya. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be with you in Jannah. Meaning, he was gaining that pleasure of being with the Prophet ﷺ in the dunya. He wanted the same in the akhirah as well. And if you think about it, he's asked for a few things just by saying that one jumla. He's asked to die upon iman, because no non-Muslim, no person devoid of faith can enter Jannah. He's also asked for what? Being able to do good deeds. Because the more good deeds you do, the higher your rank in Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ's rank is the highest in Jannah. So he wants to be with the Prophet ﷺ in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many things he's asked for. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say to him that, Oh Rabbi, this is too much. Don't ask me for this. I thought you're just going to ask me for something minor. Why are you asking me for my companionship in Jannah? No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say this. And this is a hadith of Sahih Muslim, by the way, one of the most authentic books of hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only said to him in reply that, "Awa ghayra dhalik? Do you want anything other than that?" Meaning, this is a given, you've got it. Do you want anything else? And he said, "Huwa dhaka, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing else. I just want your companionship to be with you in Jannah." And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, if that is the case, fa'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood. If that is the case, then help me upon yourself with an abundance of prostration. Meaning, show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now that you are given this, you'll be with me in Jannah. Do abundant prostration to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this narration alone, what do we learn from it? We learn that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ikhtiyar, has authority to do as he wishes, for whom he wishes, when he wishes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can do this. Now here, the ulama have said, when the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, sal, ask, he said it mutlaqan, unconditionally. He didn't say ask for something that is available in Madinatul Munawwara, ask for something that is available in Arabia. The amount should not exceed this much. Only ask for something small. He has said mutlaqan, unconditionally, ask for whatever you want. The scholars of Islam have said, based upon this, that even today, when a believer performs istighatha, just as the companions did, and he asks for blessings from the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the form of wealth, in the form of health, in the form of offspring, whatever, this is entirely permissible. And remember one thing here, that Allah Ta'ala is the haqiqi, real bestower of blessings. We know that. That's our aqeedah. But the Prophet alayhi salam has said in Bukhari, Kitabul Ilm, that innama ana qasimun wallahu yu'ti. That I am the distributor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grants the blessings. What we learn is that the blessings descend upon Medina al-Munawwara, and specifically the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he distributes them to the creation. He is the one who has authority. Who has granted him that authority? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked by the companions on several occasions as well. And we learned that we shouldn't only ask minor things. We can ask for the dunya, we can ask for the akhirah, whatever you want. Inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that via the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam is a prophet whose rank does not exceed the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, out of all the prophets and messengers, the greatest rank and status belongs to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like this ummah is the greatest of all ummahs. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Now, Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, what would he do? He would cure those who were born blind. He would cure the lepers. Uhyil mawta, he said, I revive the dead bi-idhnillah, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Prophet alayhi salam has been granted every mu'jiza of the other Anbiya alayhi salam, and more than that as well. This shows you the ikhtiyar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's listen to another narration in this regard. What happened? Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was speaking to the son of Umara radiyallahu anha, and he said, may Allah bless your entire family. Your mother holds a higher rank than so and so. Your stepfather's rank is higher than so and so. Your rank is higher than so and so. The Prophet ﷺ is addressing the son of Umara. When she heard this, she requested. She said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pray for us that we are granted your proximity in Jannah, in paradise. Pray that Allah gives us your company in Jannah. Sahabiya is asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma ja'alhum rufaqai fil Jannah. O Allah, make them my companions in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for her. When she heard this dua of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, imagine the excitement, imagine the feeling. She said, Ma ubali ma asabani min ad-dunya. She said, now I have heard this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she had yaqeen in that dua that it will be fulfilled. She goes, nothing that reaches me in the dunya in terms of harm, calamity, concern, this doesn't bother me anymore. Anything that happens to me in the dunya, it can happen, it doesn't matter. The Prophet ﷺ has made dua for me and my family. Inshallah, we will be with him in Jannah as well, subhanallah. So, the Sahaba would ask for this. They would ask for the company of the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. He would never tell them off. He would never say to them, don't ask me for my companionship. He would say yes. He would do dua for them. Now, once a Bedouin, an Arabi, came to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he knew about the unparalleled generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi sallam said to this Arabi, this Bedouin, Sal ma shi'ta ya Arabi. O Bedouin, ask for whatever you want. Imagine that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking you, what do you want? Ask anything you want. Salma shi'ta ya Arabi. And this Arabi, was being observed by the companions. The companions, they narrate, they say, when he was asked this, we were thinking, subhanAllah, what is he going to ask for? And they were amazed that the Prophet ﷺ has given him this privilege and opportunity. And they thought that he might ask for Jannah. What did the Bedouin, the Arabi, ask for? He said, I would like a conveyance, meaning a camel or a horse. The Bedouin asked this and the Prophet ﷺ said, you are granted this mount, meaning this ride that you want, you're granted it. Ask for more. Allahu Akbar. The oceans of generosity of the Prophet ﷺ are overflowing. The Prophet ﷺ said, ask for more even. The Bedouin then said, please give me the required equipment, provisions for the animal, such as a saddle, etc. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's also been granted to you. Ask for more. Allahu Akbar. Ask for more. This time he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me some provisions for the travel. When I travel, I will need some food, necessary items. Give me that as well. Grant me that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him that as well. The companions say that they were amazed at this Bedouin, that he's keep being given the opportunity to ask for whatever he wants from the dunya and the akhirah. And we know the akhirah is everlasting. The dunya will perish. And each time the Bedouin seemingly is asking for something small and minor. Then what happens? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, how different is the request of this Arabi compared to the old woman of Bani Israel? Allahu Akbar. What is the story of the old woman from Bani Israel? What happened? Briefly, I'll mention it. When Prophet Musa, ala nabina wa alayhi salatu was salam, was commanded by Allah to lead Bani Israel out of Egypt, Allah Ta'ala also instructed him to take the blessed body of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam with him. Now, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam had passed away centuries before and was buried in the middle of River Nile. And the people who were with Musa alayhi salam, they didn't know about the exact location. Neither did he know. So he asked anyone if they knew. Does anyone know where the blessed body of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is located? We want to take it with us. What happened? The one old woman, she came forward and she said, I know where it is. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, tell me, if you know where it is, tell me. She said, by Allah, I will not disclose it until my request is fulfilled. It was a very intelligent old woman. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, okay, what do you want? I'll fulfill your request. You tell me where the blessed body of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is. And she said, I ask to be your neighbor in Jannah, in paradise. This is what I want. She asked for the highest thing. Just like Rabi'a Aslami asked the Prophet ﷺ for his companionship in Jannah. That is the real success, to be with the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. This old woman said, I'm not going to tell you the whereabouts of Sayyidina Yusuf ﷺ's body until you grant me this. Sayyidina Musa ﷺ said, no, I can't do this. Ask for something else. Ask for Jannah. Why asking for my rank? Or to be with me, just ask for paradise. And she said, no, by Allah, I will not be satisfied with anything less. I don't just want paradise, I want to be your neighbor in paradise. So Musa alayhi salam continued saying to her, look, ask for something less, you know, change this, the request of yours. And she insisted, she said, no. Until eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, that, oh my Musa, what harm is there for you? Grant her what she asks for. Just give her what she wants. And then Musa alayhi salam fulfilled her request and they continued on their journey whilst taking the blessed body of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam with them. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam was referring to. The Bedouin kept asking for dunyawi things and small things. I want an animal, a ride. I want a saddle. I want provisions for the journey. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where is this request and where is the request of that woman from Bani Israel? She asked for Musa alayhi salam's companionship. The Prophet ﷺ, he is encouraging his companions that when you're given this opportunity to ask for whatever you want, you should ask for the suhbah of the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. This is what you should ask for. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even said, أَعَجَزْتُمْ أَن تَكُونَ مِثْلَ عَجُوزِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And can't you be like that old woman from Bani Israel? The way she asked Musa alayhi wa sallam for his companionship in Jannah, you should ask for my companionship in Jannah. And a true believer, a devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what he wants. That's his ultimate desire. What was the desire of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu? Al-julusu bayna yadayk. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I just want to sit before you. That's all I want to do. I want to gaze upon your blessed face. That's my khwaish, that's my desire. This was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And how did Allah ta'ala fulfill this desire? 3 nights. No one from the ummah has this blessing. Only Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq for 3 nights straight. It was only him sitting before the Prophet ﷺ and gazing upon the face of the Prophet ﷺ. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. We have to have this desire. Our desire is very low. Dunya, house, car, this, that and the other. Look at the Sahaba, their thinking, their sight on the Akhirah, constantly on the Akhirah. That's why when Sayyidina Rabi'ah was asked, he didn't hesitate. He said, As'aluka murafaqataka fil Jannah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want your companionship in Jannah. That's all I want. He was even asked, anything else? Awa ghayra dhalik? He said, nothing. Just that. Because he knows, if you're with the beloved of Allah, what other blessing remains? You're with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for whom Allah ta'ala created the dunya, upon whose blessed heart the Quran was revealed, the one who is the most beloved of Allah. If you're with him, what more can you ask for? This is what we should ask for. Let me just mention now a few actions that lead to attaining the proximity of the Prophet ﷺ in the Akhirah. The hadith we mentioned at the beginning, Sayyidina Rabi'a Aslami, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, you will get Jannah, you will get my companionship. فَإِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. Now what you need to do is help yourself by abundantly prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one way of attaining proximity of the Prophet ﷺ in the Akhirah. كَثْرَةُ السُّجُود. You have to perform your 5 daily salah. Then you are amongst those who perform كَثْرَةُ السُّجُود. Prostration in abundance. Let's look at it quickly. In a day, there are 5 daily salah, including the fard, sunnah, wajibat, etc., the nawafil. And they amount to 48 raka'at in total. 48 units. Now, there's 2 prostrations in each rak'at, as we know. That equals 96 prostrations a day. 96. If you offer your 5 daily salah and you offer every part of the salah, you don't leave any nafal out, or sunnah, ghair, mu'akkada, etc. Then, if you add just 2 units a day for tahajjud, if you're blessed to wake up at that auspicious time of night, and you offer tahajjud, that's another 4 prostrations. If you offer 2 rak'at, that brings your prostrations in a single day to 100 prostrations. Then if you're fortunate and you add 4 units for ishraq, duha prayer, brings it to 108 sujood. And then if you add 6 units of awwabin, salatul awwabin, after salatul maghrib, offering 6 additional nawafil, that brings your prostrations to 120 a day. Then 2 units of Salatul Tawbah along with Tahiyyatul Wudu and Tahiyyatul Masjid bring the total to 132 prostrations in a day. And you'll do sajda 132 times a day. So like this, easy reward. And what context are we mentioning this in? That the Prophet ﷺ said to that Sahabi, you want my companionship in Jannah, you want my closeness, then perform kathratu sujood. Perform prostrations in abundance. Doesn't come easily. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also spoke about how to attain his closeness in another narration. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever has 3 daughters and he brings them up, he nurtures them, provides them good upbringing, tarbiyah, looks after them, raises them well, he will be in paradise with me like this. And while saying this, the Prophet ﷺ gestured towards his four fingers to illustrate the level of closeness, just like your four fingers are close to each other. Another narration, Rasulullah ﷺ spoke about two daughters. And he says, whoever raises two daughters, I and he will be like this in paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ joined two of his fingers to display the closeness. This is how to attain the closeness of the Prophet ﷺ. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayh, he explains this hadith. He says, generally, what happens is, people have more expectations of their sons. They'll become a sahara for them, a support for them in their old age. They will help them in other ways as well. And whilst thinking like this, they neglect their daughters. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayh says, this is why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specified daughters. He said, it's not easy. He said, if you bring them up with patience and care, the reward is great indeed. And this reward applies to sisters as well as daughters. Mufti Sahib says, this hadith is broad in terms of its meaning. Not only applies to daughters, also sisters as well. Bringing them up if the parents have passed on, etc. And he says, happily raising two girls, whether they are one's own daughters, sisters, or orphans, yatim, is a means of closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. On that day, the one who attains this proximity to the Prophet alayhi salam has indeed attained everything. Nothing greater. The Prophet alayhi salam said on the Day of Judgment, even Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam will be in need of my assistance. Who are we? We are sinners. We are normal people. We are not prophets. May Allah Ta'ala make us from the salihin, from the pious. And we need the assistance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as well. There are many other actions that bring one close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Time does not permit to go through all of them. For example, in one narration it specifically mentions orphans. We've touched upon that slightly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned, oh Anas, respect your elders and show kindness to your young ones. By doing so, you will be in my company in Jannah, in paradise. Respecting elders. And these are things today that people overlook. Kids grow up and they think they know more than their parents. They feel they can speak to their parents in any way. Their parents are elders as well. Likewise, the youth are not shown rahm by many. So many times we've seen it that the elders discourage the youngsters. They rebuke them, they criticize them. I remember Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakat Mulali, the founder of Dawud Islami, he says when he was young, he was in the masjid, began offering from a young age, and he was of a sensible age. He could discern things. And the Shari'i Masla is, if a child is in one of the front rows, and he is of discernible age, then it's not allowed to pull him back. Yes, initially when you form the rows, the best tartib, the best way is to have the adults at the front, the kids, then obviously very young kids right at the back. But for a youngster who understands, who's learned masail, etc., is there, 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, qareebul bulugh, there's no ijazah to push him back. Amir al-Sunnah says that one person came, very harshly, aggressively grabbed me and pulled me back. He says, I still think about that. Of course, he says, I've forgiven that person, but he still leaves a mark. It's traumatic for people. But here we see it all the time. That's just one example. And it's only in a masjid setting, that example. But everywhere, outside as well, we see it, how kids, some people discourage them. Some people break their hearts, break their feelings. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about respecting elders and showing kindness and affection towards the young ones, the youth. And if you do so, you're successful in doing so, you will gain the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who does not show mercy to our young ones and does not respect our elders, falaysa minna. That person is not from us. Imagine somebody disowns you today, somebody ignores you or rejects you today, and that person is of high status and rank. You feel distraught. But here the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that that person cannot be ascribed to me, he is not from my group. The one who does not show respect to the elders and mercy and affection to the youngsters. So this applies to one and all. Some here are young, some old. So we all have a duty. This doesn't give a right to the youngsters now to criticize the elders, or the elders to speak about the youngsters. Look at the beauty of our deen. It's afforded rights to everyone in society. Whether someone young or old, it's a duty upon us, once we hear these narrations, to fulfill the rights that are upon us. So summarizing the bayan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about those people who are fortunate to attain his company in Jannah. And we started off with a very powerful hadith where Sayyidina Rabi'a Aslami, who would serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day and night, provide wudu water for him, miswak for him, he was asked unconditionally by the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, Sal ya Rabi'a, or Rabi, ask for anything you want. And we spoke about how the ulama have said that this unconditional sal means that whatever you want in the dunya, whatever you want in the akhirah, whether it's wealth, health, offspring, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ikhtiyar given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow whatever he wants upon anyone, whatever time as well. This is bi-idhnillah. And you only have to read the Quran for how Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was given such powers and authority as well. And our beloved alayhi salam is the greatest of all messengers and prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. We should desire his company in Jannah. We should work towards that by obeying him, by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah jalla wa ala grant us afiyah and ease in this regard. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Dawate Islami be glorious in every corner of the world. For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.